In-law relationships. That's what we're talking about today from Intentional Living. I'd love to have you be a part of the show as we focus on one thing that can make a difference in building a relationship with your in-laws that'll bring glory to God and benefit to those that you love and you care for. If you have a comment, you can share it at 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717 is the phone number. You know, the fact is that in-law relationships can be a beautiful thing, or they can be a very painful thing. And we know that the statistics indicate that, surprisingly, but indicate that a high percentage of people report later after a divorce or a crisis in their marriage that the in-law relationship was a part of the challenge. Not necessarily blaming the in-laws, but maybe so. But we do know this, have a good relationship as an in-law. One of the things we have to do is be intentional in what we say and what we don't say. So come on in, join us today, in-law relationships.
My father-in-law will call and talk to my husband. He'll stop by my husband's work, but he completely ignores me and does everything he can to avoid me.
My in-laws just don't accept me. I do everything that I can for him. I love him dearly. And I would think just that alone, they would accept me, but just treat me terribly.
You know, my parents have always been very supportive people that have been there for us, and my husband and father just got into a big fight this summer, and it ended with my husband telling my dad he had 10 minutes to get off our property.
Well, I have a controlling father-in-law. My husband and I have been married for 14 years, and this past spring I had a confrontation with him. He was disciplining our children in my presence in a way that I did not agree with, and I asked him to stop.
In-law relationships. Love to have you be a part of the show and your comment line. 888-888-1717. And let's get to the calls. Got Lauren on the line in Arizona. Hi, Lauren. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you, Dr. Andy?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling. Tell us, what have you learned about in-law relationships?
I absolutely love mine. I wouldn't be the person I am today without my mother-in-law and my father-in-law. They're divorced, but my mother-in-law, she's actually the one who helped lead me to Christ and become baptized. So I owe my salvation to her helping me find Jesus. So in 2018, she had really just been, you know, letting me and my husband know, like, that she really wanted us to find a church here in Arizona after we had moved here from California, where we're originally all from. And she helped find a church for us, CCV, here in the Valley, and set up a baptism, and it was the best day of my life. Wow. Until a year later, when I found out I was pregnant with our first child. And when we revealed that we were pregnant, she had told me and my husband that she had prayed up to the sky to God that day during our baptism that we would, you know, have a baby and she would become a grandmother. And a year later, we announced that news to her. And now, 6 years later, she actually lives with us. She moved to Arizona from California. She moved in with us during the pandemic as we had our baby in 2020, and we needed all the help we could get with all of our family in California and the world in a crazy place. And she gave up everything in her life out there to come be with us and support us. And now, 6 years later, she and my daughter are best friends. She's helped put the love of Christ and Jesus in my daughter's heart. She's only 6 years old, but she is more well-versed in her love of God than I had been in almost all my life until I became baptized. And I just owe so much to her, and I wouldn't be who I am, and my daughter wouldn't be who she is, and of course my husband wouldn't be who he is without her. So
well, your story, Lauren, is a reminder that when we connect at that spiritual level, it reminds me of that Ruth and Naomi story, you know, where that connection, that bond was really built around that the fact that there was trust. Your God is my God. And I would add, and maybe as in-laws listening today, when you and your in-laws don't share the same faith, you're not on the same page, believe me, that is a major problem. And not only in a marriage, but it becomes an issue with in-laws. You're taking my son or my daughter and you're wanting them to move into a different way of faith or belief or seeing what God can do in their life. I mean, these things are disruptive at a high level when it comes to these family relationships. And so that's a powerful reminder. All right. Thank you, Lauren. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
I'm 71 and I never thought I had a purpose, and I got thinking about my past jobs. I have been a preschool teacher, I did in-home care, and now I deliver groceries to people. So I've always helped people.
Yeah, so your purpose, you're a person that's wired to really serve and care for people.
Yeah, and I never thought of it that way until today when I was listening to your show.
Well, I'm glad you tuned in then, Claudia. Do you listen regularly or did you just stumble across this today?
Oh, no, I listen every day. I always like your program.
You know, when we hear these stories and the impact in people's lives, that's why we do what we do. And it's because of your prayers and your support that we can do this. And we thank God for you. Thanks for being a part of Intentional Living. Today, talking about the relationship in in-laws. Let me go to the calls here. We're going to have Lena on the line. Lana, rather, in New Mexico. How are you, Lana?
I'm great. Thank you.
Great. Appreciate your call. What's your story?
Just my mother-in-law was a Southern Belle, beautiful woman. My husband was married prior, as well as I, but had two small children that I helped raise. But when I met her for the first time, she just grabbed me and hugged me and told me that I was that she loved me because she knew I was a godly woman and I would take care of her son and her grandchildren. We were dated for 5 years and then married. We were married for 30 years. And she was just such a special woman. And I wish I could have met my father-in-law, but he had passed before we had met. But
what do you think that was, Lana? Was it just that she was more focused on you and her concern for you and love for you than maybe her own stuff? Is that how you received it?
She was a godly woman as well. She raised 5 children on her own because her husband had passed in the early 70s. But I knew from that she was a godly woman, and she knew in her heart that when she met me, that we were almost alike. We loved the Lord, and you know, we will do anything for our family, and that's how I knew that we were the same person, really. And the love of the Lord and the love for our husbands and the children, nothing could compare to that. And we were just going to do what we had to do to make it work, and we were just a perfect match from day one.
Did you do a lot of stuff together, spend time together, talk a lot?
Oh, yes. Well, you know, like I said, my mother-in-law was from Louisiana, but she visited in New Mexico. We visited in back in Louisiana, would meet up in places, the whole family, you know, the siblings and the grandchildren and all that. So it was just, it was a beautiful thing. And I'm proud to be associated with, you know, with my family. I have since lost my husband 5 years ago, but my sister-in-laws and my brother-in-laws, they still, we talk every day. Well, not every day, but, you know, throughout, each of them call and just check on me, and, you know, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you're blessed to have that kind of a relationship. Is a powerful thing, yeah. And frankly, it's not as common or as frequent as I know people would like. And some people, maybe you're listening today and you're not able to relate with some of what we're hearing. The question is, what do we do to be intentional in a relationship? My best advice to you is to think about that circle of control. What is it? What's one thing you could do over these next 30 days to build a stronger bridge between yourself and someone in your family, an in-law relationship? Start with the one that's going to be easiest and begin that process. It could be praying for them for 30 days. It could be that you're going to take the next 30 days and connect with them intentionally, a card, a text, a phone call, having a lunch, stopping by with a gift, something to connect with them, asking them what's going on in their life. It's not about you, but about them, focusing on them. And I can almost guarantee that if you do that over a period of time, it may not change them. It should, and very likely could, and will, but it'll change you. And I think that's one of the most important parts of this relationship. I believe that many of us face a crisis in our life, and instead of saying, God, what can I learn through this crisis? We get ticked off at God, and we get mad. We get mad at people. We get mad at circumstances. We get mad at God. And what Paul learned was that God was doing something. Ananias came, as we know, a few days later, and the scales fell from his eyes, and it said that he spent time with the disciples, and he ate, and he refreshed himself, and then he got up, and he started to preach in the synagogues. And so the question is, how can you and I use a crisis in our life to find the dream? Yeah, that's an excerpt from the lesson this month on our exclusive member site at theintentionallife.com. And that's really a great question. I have found that many times people build the dream, the vision that God gives them, not out of their victories, but out of their defeats, out of their hurts, out of their challenges. God has a way of taking those things in our life that we didn't want at the time, certainly didn't anticipate perhaps, or planned for, or made decisions about that we later found out was not the best decision. But God can use those things to be a ministry in the lives of other people. So he can use our weakness and our failings for his glory if we allow it. And I think that's really part of the message of what intentional living is all about. Finding that need that we have in our life, it's out of that that we come to a relationship with him and then live intentionally for him every day. A big thank you to our members and your prayers and support. Find out more about becoming a member of Intentional Living at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com.
My question is about enabling versus helping your parents as far as with their finances, if they're not spending appropriately and expect you to help them. They live in a resort area, so they have a very expensive house, but they can't afford it. They can't work, and they're doing a reverse mortgage. They could sell it and pay cash for a smaller house, but they just don't want to leave the area. And the taxes are $10,000 a year, and they expect us and the siblings to help pay for those taxes so they can stay in that house. He's disabled, so he can't work. It's actually my in-laws. I think they're 60.
Yeah, that's a key right there, Keith. You know, I would have said if you had shared they were 95, that would have been a different answer than their 60. This could be something that goes on for the next 25 years or more. And encouragement in family relationships, because these things can get really sticky and difficult. You got to take care of your family. We want to help our parents and want to help those that we love and work with them. But when they're doing dumb things and making bad decisions, we don't want to compound it by financing or supporting bad, stupid decisions. And so at the end of the day, I would really encourage you, Keith, you and your wife, and sit down and the family and say, you know, this is what we can do, mom and dad. This is what we can do, and this is what we can't do. This is the limits. This is the plan. And we're glad to help you get a financial planner or have someone come in and counsel you, or we're happy to talk to you. We're not going to make the decisions for you, but we're going to say that this is what we're capable of doing. Beyond that, you got to make some decisions. Here's your options. Now, when a parent gets to be incapacitated, I hope they've been smart enough to have some legal standing with a family member who can step in and make decisions for them, right? And that's a part of, I think, good estate planning for anybody. We've done that in our own family. We've got things in place that if we can't make good decisions at some point in our life, that we have our kids and they can step in and help. But I don't think we do a service to our family when we continue to foster or finance dumb decisions, hurtful decisions, because it not only hurts them, but it hurts yourself in the process. All right. Let's continue on here. Andrea is from Arizona. Sounds like you got a good story, Andrea, about your in-laws.
Oh, in-laws. All I can say is I have been blessed with three different sets of the most marvelous in-laws anybody could ever ask for. My first husband passed away. His in-laws were wonderful to me. My second husband's mother has just been marvelous, and he's passed away as well, but she and I are still so close. And the interesting thing is my current mother-in-law, we have all of our holiday dinners at our house with both of the mother-in-laws, the former mother-in-law and the current mother-in-law, and they get along great. I have just been blessed.
It sounds like it. That's what we love to hear, these stories in terms of how do we connect with and relate to an in-law when it's a great thing, but when we're struggling with it. Having that kind of support is helpful, but at the same time, knowing how we as in-laws are going to relate to our sons-in-laws and daughter-in-laws and so on. Let's carry on here. I think we're going to go to, is it Laura next? I think Laura's on the line from Michigan. Hey, Laura, how are you doing today?
I am fine. You're talking about in-laws. And if I would have, like, sent a note to heaven saying, Lord, this is what I want, my in-laws totally even were better than that. My mother-in-law was a small family of 13, and she raised 13. My husband is the fifth of the 13. And they were just so supportive. They never butted in, but if you ask, they were more than willing to help. I mean, many times she come over and help me can pears and all that kind of stuff. And they've been gone 25 years, so I really miss them. But my dad died not too long after we got married. So in reality, my father-in-law was my father longer than my father was because, you know, we just celebrated 52 years. And so, like, for 30 years, he was my father, and I called him Dad. Just super, super people, I mean.
If you were thinking of one thing, Laura, one characteristic or personality trait or something, what was the one thing that made them super terrific for you?
Oh, gosh. It's hard, it'd be hard to pick one. I think that they were faithful to each other, and my father-in-law inspired me to stay strong. So, yeah, in both of them, yeah, they were very strong in their faith and just faithful to each other and faithful to the Lord.
Yeah, well, that's a great attribute. We can model that kind of thing for in-laws. All right, let's thank you for that call. Let's go over to Arizona. Meg, sounds like you got a happy story as well.
I do. It started off bumpy. My daughter-in-law, ex-daughter-in-law now, but when my son was with her and they were having problems, it was hard to watch the way she treated my son, and I didn't know how to deal with it. And so, like you frequently say with everything else, and as the Bible says, it starts with us. We mm-hmm. can't worry about what someone else is doing. So I spent a lot of time in prayer for myself to be more understanding, to be more wise, to be more aware, and prayer for her as well. And there was a time she was even refusing to allow me to see my grandchildren, who I'd spent the first 2 years with, helping both my kids raise them. And she was so mad at him, she took it out on me.
Hmm.
Long story short, they separated. And there's been an opportunity for me to not hold a grudge and for me to remember everybody makes mistakes, to be able to forgive her. And so there, over the last year, I have actually spent the night at her house seeing my grandkids without my son anywhere around.
Wow.
And so my whole point is, forgiveness is important. The first story you told about somebody forgiving their in-laws at their wedding day, it's not an easy task, but that's what Jesus did on the cross for us. He took that to us, took it to the cross for us so we could lean on him and he could help us to overcome by using his wisdom and his guidance.
Yeah, that's so good. What do you think, Meg? You've got wisdom. You're down this trail. How impactful are we as moms and dads-in-law with our kids as far as impacting their marriages, either positively or negatively? How much influence do you think or impact we do or can make in that?
Huge. I think we can make a huge difference either direction because we are that other parent, and it is natural to look up to the other parent and want that approval. So we have to be mindful and we have to be careful of that because we have that power whether we want it or not. And so if we step up on their toes, we have to remember that's their house.
Yeah.
God commanded them to leave their mother and father and cleave to each other. So it's not right. up to us as mother and father mm-hmm. to bring them back. It's up to us to support them.
Yeah.
And so we have to be very careful in what we do so that we can be that positive influence.
Yeah, I agree. And it's not always easy to shut up, really to quiet down when we have something we want to offer or share that we think will be helpful. It goes back to something I've mentioned several times on this show and in the first part of this show from last week, which is the fact that our expectations or our intentions sometimes are very good, but the expectation of the receiver, in this case, an in-law, is different. And being able to match those things is a tricky thing. And I think we see the theme here. We don't butt in. We don't offer suggestions without being asked. We back off, we support, we pray for, and we encourage our kids and in these in-law relationships because that's a huge part of making life work for them and for us. I think that's our goal. Leave and cleave, right? That's like you quoted from Scripture. Powerful. All right, Wesley in Michigan, how are you doing today?
How you doing? My in-laws were married for 70 years. Oh, well, it would have been 70 years, but she passed away Thanksgiving, and it was December 11th. This past year when she passed, when they had their anniversary, so mm-hmm. they didn't quite make it 70. But they're both born again and taught me the importance of having Christ in the middle of your marriage. Tina, my wife, we just celebrated our 40th anniversary, so.
Well, what did they do right? They taught you about Christ. Did they give you space? Did they encourage you? Did you ask for input? What's something that was positive in that relationship on day-to-day?
Sometimes they give input that, you know, wasn't asked, mm-hmm. but there's times we talk to them about different things that we needed, and they would take us to the Bible and give us biblical proof, you know, of what we need to do.
Yeah, well, that's good. You know, when we can be receptive, by the way, I want to add this. If you have smart, godly, encouraging in-laws and parents, listen to them. Because there's advice and there's counsel that I think we can learn from. We've done a show on that. What do we want most in this relationship? We want to have an impact in the lives of our kids and grandkids. All right. I think we're going to wrap it up here with a question. Nicole, appreciate your call from Arizona. What's your question today?
My question was, I had an issue with my ex-mother-in-law, you know, thinking that people were against me and everything. And I'm back in a situation where it's healthier. I have myself more together. And, you know, I found myself. I kind of live by the serenity prayer every day. That's what helped me, you know, get a lot better. And now while things have opened up for, not only for my daughter, but for myself too, to where that relationship with my ex-mother-in-law is actually growing and actually better.
Good.
But I have, you know, negative comments, you know, from my mom thinking that, oh, that's not a good idea. You know, maybe you shouldn't be talking to her still. And I think, you know, in the past, with the situation that happened in the past, I think, okay, you know, that was right, you know, but I had to distance myself from certain people to actually finally realize who is actually there for me. And now I'm in a state of mind where everything's going perfectly fine. So I just kind of wanted to, like, make sure, you know, get, like, a reassurance that...
Well, it says here on the screen, Nicole, that there's a granddaughter involved in this.
There is.
Your daughter, that's her grandmother.
That's her grandmother, exactly.
And your mother is opposed to having you have a relationship with your ex-mother-in-law or your daughter having that kind of relationship with the other grandma?
Right.
Is there any reason other than her feelings about her that would keep you from...
I think from the past situation, because I got out of a situation where there was drugs involved. I had a DCS case. And I went through classes. I did everything that I had to do, and I took that all the way to the fullest, and I accomplished everything. I finished everything. That case got closed. And now I feel like it's, you know, I'm a lot healthier, and, you know, and I feel like the relationship actually grew stronger for me and my ex-mother-in-law.
Yeah.
And when I tried to explain that to my mom, it's just like, no, you know, you need to realize how she did you in the past, and... you know, this and that, and, you know, I can put myself in my mom's feet, but at the same time, you know, I don't want to hold grudges either against anybody.
So what do you do? I mean, I think you tell your mom, Mom, thanks for your input, and I appreciate it. I know you love me and want the best for me. You got to trust me. I'm a big girl now. And then you need to trust God that you monitor that relationship and take and be careful, in other words, moving forward, but to forgive and want to connect, to bring glory to God, benefit to yourself and your children. I think that's a part of it. Big girls now, right? Thanks, Mom, but this is what I'm going to do. Got to run. Thanks for being a part of Intentional Living. Dr. Randy here along with Jennifer and Steven. Love your comments. 888-888-1717. Love your support. Thank you for prayers. Thank you for being a part of the ministry. God bless you. Remember, this is Intentional Living, a ministry of Intentional Life Media.